And I kind of keep that in the back of my mind, journey before destination. So whenever I come home, and if I'm absolutely knackered that day, and I'm thinking in the back of my mind, oh, I've got to churn out another video, I just kind of remind myself that actually, no, there's a journey before destination. There's no point in trying to get to a million subscribers or whatever if I'm not enjoying the process. So everything that I'm now doing on YouTube is kind of in the with this idea that I want to be enjoying it as I go along.
So yeah, Ali, welcome to the Social Colours podcast.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. This is interesting.
So what I always try and start off to do is just give me a 1 minute rundown of kind of what you do outside of YouTube.
Yeah.
First and foremost, and then we'll go into kind of the YouTube sphere itself.
Okay. So what do I do outside of YouTube? At the moment, I'm a junior doctor, just started working in Cambridge, which is where we are at the moment. So started working about 2 months ago. So I was a student at Cambridge for the last 6 years, and now we've just started work. So I'm on cardiology at the moment. So that's kind of like my day job. But then on the side for the last few years, I've been running this kind of side business that helps students get into medical school. And then sort of on the side from that, I've been doing a few things like coding and music as sort of dabbling. So I quite like to keep myself occupied with other things, but that means that, as my mum says, I never really focus on one thing in particular. So, yeah.
I think a lot of creative people are like that anyway, aren't they? They don't necessarily focus on one thing. Like, I'm the same, I'll do one thing and then I want to go on to the next thing.
I think there's a lot to be said for that.
And then obviously in that sense YouTube came along.
So
you started in about 2016?
Yeah, 2017 actually. Yeah, so it was more like a year and a bit ago when I was on my medical elective. So that's where in our fifth year of medical school we get to go wherever you want for about 2 months.
Okay.
And you do some kind of medical placement. So I went to Cambodia and Vietnam to do this like plastic surgery placement, because back then I thought I wanted to be a plastic surgeon.
Okay.
So then on my elective, I kind of got into the whole Casey Neistat YouTube vlogging kind of scene, which I'd never really been exposed to before. And then the wheels started turning in my head that, oh, why don't I start a vlog? How hard can it be? You know, there's not many medical vloggers in the UK. There seems to be a kind of a gap in the market for that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So how did you come across Casey in the first place? And was he like your initial inspiration, obviously, as you say?
So I've been into the whole YouTube stuff since like 2008 or something, ever since I started watching covers of popular songs by people like Kurt Schneider and Sam Tyria.
Is it? Because the early videos on your YouTube channel are like session music videos, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
So for ages I had this dream of, you know, I want to be a YouTuber. I kind of sing a bit and play instruments, and I've got loads of friends who are like incredible singers. So I was thinking, if I could be the next Kurt Schneider, if I can kind of produce covers of popular songs and get my friends to sing, that would be really cool. So kind of I've been kind of keeping an eye on the YouTube scene in the music sphere. Actually, I have no idea how I came across Casey Neistat. I think it was because I've been into photography, and then I kind of discovered Peter McKinnon and the other photographer side of YouTube. And then from that led on to kind of more the tech YouTubers, people like Sarah Dici. And then from that, Casey Neistat, and then realizing, wow, this guy's huge. It's a big vlogging thing is a thing. And he's like, you know, the grandfather of vlogging. Grandfather. Yeah. And then I kind of realized that, wow, this is a thing people do.
I think with Casey, what he done was he essentially took the camera away from people pointing at themselves, and he created these little kind of movies where he was almost the actor in it. Like, so when he's going running, there's like shots that are static and he runs past him. And I think that's what changed the game for vlogging, and that's why he's seen as kind of the grandfather of it, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, obviously at the start you kind of had the music-y kind of session things, and then you went into the vlog, like you said, in Cambodia and that. How was it kind of vlogging the first time around? Because obviously there's a lot of creators that want to do vlogs, but they're very conscious about being in front of the camera and talking to the camera.
Yeah. So like even today, I still find it really weird talking to a camera, especially in public. And I have to actively kind of combat that, you know, innate desire to like, you know, hide away in a corner, because it's just a weird thing to do. But like kind of early on, I did, before starting, watch a few tutorials about people, you know, advice on how to vlog. A few of those, and without exception, everyone said it's going to be really weird at first. You've just got to battle through the awkwardness, and eventually you'll become more comfortable doing it. So yeah, it was really awkward, and still is. But
out in public, have you had anyone ever come up to you and go like, "What the hell are you doing?"
I've not. So that was the fear initially. You know, because I suppose any time we do anything, we're worried that people are going to judge us, especially kind of talking to a camera in public. It's like an objectively a weird thing. So I think the fear for everyone is, what if people are going to think me weird for doing so? But actually, the only time people have come up to me, they've been like, oh, what's that you're doing? It seems pretty cool. Oh, are you a YouTuber? Because, you know, when I've got my camera with the fluffy microphone, the Casey Neistat setup, you know, people who know YouTube know that that's a vlogger setup and automatically get interested. Yeah. So I've never really had any negative reception for that.
I think there's probably like kind of in British people in general, there's kind of the two sides of it. People who are interested in what you want to do, like you're saying, coming up to you, probably know a bit about YouTube, isn't it? Yeah. And then there's the general British person that's like, I'll just leave.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not going to comment, so that, you know, who cares? That's fine.
Keep quiet, all
yeah,
gone.
Absolutely.
So yeah, obviously when you first kind of put out your first vlogs in, so the first ones were in Cambodia, were they? What kind of were you expecting from the videos? So did you go in with a plan of what you wanted to do and who you were kind of targeting? Or was it literally like, I'm going to put these up and see what happens and go from there, essentially?
So it was very much the latter initially. So for the first few videos, it was a case of, you know what, I think it would be cool to be a YouTuber. And I kind of had in the back of my mind that because there were so few medical vloggers, and at the time I was in my penultimate year of medical school, I was thinking that if I can learn the ropes of YouTube over the course of a year, then when I start work as a junior doctor, then I'll be able to kind of vlog and talk about life as a junior doctor, because that was something that I think was missing from YouTube. And it's only really started to become a thing with Ed and with a few other people in the last year or so. So that was kind of the aim in the back of my mind, that, okay, I just want to get some experience of just churning out content, as all these creators, Gary Vee, Casey, they all say, it's all about the content. Churning out content, learning how to do editing and stuff, for such that in August 2018, which was about 2 months ago, I'd be able to, you know, progress life as a junior doctor.
And did you have any kind of video experience before, or have you learnt on the jobs?
Pretty much learnt on the job. So I made a video or two, you know, just of people sitting in front of a camera and talking to promote the courses that I was running for my company. But other than that, it was just a case of, right, I'm going to start off by pointing my iPhone at myself and then learning how to edit in Premiere. And then the next video was like, okay, let me get an external mic for my iPhone. So I had this weird kind of tape together setup. And the next video was like, okay, I've got the camera with me. I might as well use my camera and stick a external mic on the top of that. And it sort of evolved from there, learning on the job.
So yeah, what you're just saying, you started off with your phone essentially. So
yeah. There's
obviously a lot of people that think to create YouTube videos, they need all this expensive equipment, but you've just proved it that get your phone and go from there and work it out.
Yeah, I agree. But also I'm always a bit wary of over glamorizing the whole, it doesn't matter what camera you have. Because initially at the start, because I did have my Sony A6000 and I could have done it from the camera, but I was thinking that, look, I just need to get this started. I don't want to fall into the trap of caring about equipment too much. Because at the start, I had like 50 subscribers by default for the last 10 years. You know, when they add your email contacts and you just subscribe to YouTube channels. So I just didn't expect anyone to be watching. So I was like, you know what? This is just a case. This is just for me to learn stuff.
So the first one is, what camera do you use to film on?
Sony A6500.
Okay, why did you choose that camera?
I had the A6000. I used it for a few years to take photos of my friends with like a really nice 35mm f1.8. Got really sick background blur, obviously. And then when I decided to go full-time on YouTube, I wanted the microphone input because my audio quality was terrible before. And I thought, why not just upgrade? And that was the reason. Plus, it's small enough that you can take it around without it being a big 1DX Mark II and, you know, 10 kilograms of weight.
And so next question is, kind of think I know the answer to this, but if you could collaborate with one YouTuber, who would it be?
Oh.
You could say Ed, and that'll make him highly pleased. But
no, actually, so
we're planning a collab soon at some point, but that would be really nice. So I want to actively, I pretty much want to interview him for an extended period of time, asking for tips on how to be a good doctor, because I feel like he'd be good. Other collabs, I think MKBHD would be awesome. Been watching him for ages. Peter McKinnon, of course. Casey, you know, the standard big names.
The big ones.
Yeah.
Instagram or Twitter?
Oh, Instagram. I tried using Twitter and I've tried so many times to get into Twitter, but I just feel like I have nothing of value to add to Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think about Twitter?
I struggle with it. It feels too messy for me, like all the text. Now, I'm a very visual person, so like Instagram is easy for me. I can scroll through and that. Yeah. I think that's probably being a creative or whatever. Yeah. It's just easier on the eye. Whereas I find, maybe completely wrong, Twitter feels more businessy. So
yeah,
do you know what I mean?
That goes on.
And the way it's kind of laid out, it feels more like corporate.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But then there are sort of like people like Gary Vee say, you know, you've got to be posting on Twitter 20 times a day to grow your everything.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, sorry, I can't do that.
we've touched on this and already, but posting schedule when you feel like it, you know.
Yeah, when I feel like it, but I try once or twice a week.
Yeah, cool. Ultimate goal, again, obviously we've spoken about this, but there's generally no ultimate goal.
No ultimate goal, to enjoy the process, to make it sustainable.
Cool. Favorite YouTuber or channel? The one that you always go to, the one that when they post a video, you're like, I've got to watch this now. It doesn't go in the watch later list. It's straight away.
Ooh.
I don't know if anyone fits into that category. Kurt Schneider.
Okay.
He was the original that I started following in 2008. Just like incredibly produced, really high quality, really beautiful music, covers of popular songs. Every time he posts without fail, even if it's a random Chinese song that I've never heard.
So yeah. If you could cover any song, what would it be?
Ooh.
This is another song.
Could cover any song. Probably You Raise Me Up. That's okay. Like an absolute banger that I've been singing for the last 10 years.
One thing you couldn't live without when creating YouTube videos, apart from your camera?
Laptop.
Is there any kind of gadget that you've got your drone, obviously. Is there any kind of, you've mentioned your office chair. Is there anything that's like, I love this thing?
Actually, I think my AirPods. Have I got them on me? No, they're over there. Yeah, the AirPods are just incredible. So, like, you know, 150 quid, look a bit weird. And I was like, well, what's the point of these? But then I watched some reviews and I, like, they've changed my life.
I found out today that you can use AirPods on Android.
Oh, you can. It's less of a nice experience from what I've heard.
Oh, really?
Because there's less kind of funky stuff. Like with AirPods, if you take them out, it automatically pauses and put them back in. It automatically plays. Double tap to use Siri. But that's just, I just love those because it just reduces the friction of putting on headphones to the point that it feels like having a chip in your head, that you can just play a podcast or an audiobook whenever you feel like. And that has just made me listen to so many more podcasts, so many more audiobooks. And I think overall, that's had a good impact on my life compared to any other gadget that I own.
Cool. I'm going to add a question in here.
Yes,
then. What's your favorite audiobook you've listened to this year?
The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. Okay. It's like a fantasy sort of thing. Coming of age story. This kid is a magician. He goes to this university where people are trained in becoming arcanists. And then, you know, bad stuff happens and he goes into mischief. And it's incredible.
Know the answer to this one anyway, but Cambridge or Oxford?
Oh, come on. That's not even a question. Let's scrub that from the list.
So where are you from originally? You're not Cambridge born and bred, are you?
So when I moved to the UK in like year four,
okay.
We started off in Wiltshire, then moved to Southend-on-Sea, Essex for secondary school, and then Cambridge for university. But I think I want to live in Cambridge forever because I just love it.
It's a nice town, isn't it?
It's really nice. It's great.
Last question asked Ed again is favourite pizza topping? Just a random question.
I really like. Okay, so have you ever ordered from Z's Piri Piri on Mill Road?
No.
So that's really good. It's like, you know, brand deal with Z's. Yeah. So that's like the go-to for pretty much every Muslim in Cambridge because it's like halal pizza. They have this pizza that's like the hot coriander, which is like garlic, coriander, and chicken, and it's just the best thing ever. It's just so good. Oh, that combination is like absolutely on point.
I might try that.
Would recommend.
Cool. Well, that's it. That's everything I've got to talk about. Just as a final thing, if you want to kind of promote your channel, tell people what your channel's about, what you've got planned and stuff.
So you just search for my name on YouTube, Ali Abdal. That's one of those things. I was like, I kind of wish I had a more brandable name because I always have to, like, people ask me, oh, what's your channel? And I'm like, oh, crap, I've got to spell my surname now. And I think if I had something brandable, like Dr. Hope Sick Notes or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, people that would stick in people's heads. But now I can't use Sick Notes because he's got it.
Yeah.
Bloody Ed.
But I think a brand is what you make it, isn't it? Like Casey Neistat.
Yeah, it's a weird name. Gary Vaynerchuk is a weird name. So yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah, I always think of band names, like biggest bands in the world, Red Hot Chili Peppers. And stuff. It's a weird name, isn't it?
Yeah, so I suppose the name doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you search Ali Abdal, ABDAAL on YouTube or Google or anywhere.
Cool. For tech stuff, for education about medicine, for vlogs. Are you going to do some more vlogs?
That's the plan. I haven't done one in a while. But
more Iceland stuff.
More Iceland stuff, yeah. So I'm going on holiday to, where are we going? We're going to the Yorkshire Dales in a few weeks' time.
Okay.
Me and a few uni friends all happen to have like a few days off. But I also did a few trips like Singapore, Bali, Grenada in the Caribbean that are still in the editing backlog, as you know from all the weddings that you do.
Yeah.
Just got to find time to churn out the edit.
Oh, cool. So we can look forward to some of them.
Well, yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think anyone cares about travel videos. Like, all the other YouTubers complain about this as well. They're like, oh, if I post a study video, it gets 100,000 views. But if I post a holiday travel video, it gets 5,000 views. And it feels a bit demoralizing. So
I'm going to carry this on now.
What do you reckon?
question I was going to ask you, and it's something I chatted about with Ed the other day, is have you noticed on your channel that YouTube seems to promote some videos more than others? Like, so he finds that his reviews get promoted. It feels like he gets promoted a lot more than if he does an educational video. Yeah. Have you noticed anything on that YouTube?
Like my iPad video got promoted the hell out of, and it was coming up in people's recommended feeds and everything, the desk setups as well. It seems like all the tech stuff gets promoted a fair bit. But if I'm posting a niche video about medical school, no one's ever going to watch that unless people who are already subscribed and already know it exists. Then.
But it still holds value.
It still holds value. And I think it adds a disproportionate value to those people that care about that specific thing, because this is like a big deal in their life. You know, applying to med school is like a huge issue for a lot of people. So getting some good information about it adds more value to someone's life than you watching a video about what's on my iPhone, for example. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I'm looking forward to the what's on your iPhone video.
I got the new XS Max. It arrived at work today, so I'm going to unbox it at some point and do a review.
Yeah, so check that out.
Check that out, guys.
And Ali, cheers for being on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Pleasure. Cheers.